Speak, O Lord, your servants heareth. Amen. Please be seated. Today, as you heard in the beginning, is Trinity Sunday. Now, you may be asking yourself, what on earth is Trinity Sunday? Or maybe you say, I've heard Trinity Sunday for 30 years and I still don't know what it is. Or 50 years and I still don't know what it is. Trinity Sunday is clearly divine sense of humor, trying to show us, who wear the robes, trying to show us that you're not all that smart. Just because you're a priest or a pastor or whatever, you're not all that smart. And here's how you'll know. I'll give you a doctrine and you explain it to me what it is. And it's the doctrine of the Trinity. God reminds us that pastors and theologians just don't know that much. Now, most of my career until, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago, I loved Trinity Sunday. I still do. But I loved it because it was just theological. It didn't have any history behind it. It didn't have any account of first Mark went here and then he went there and then he met Luke and they had a quarrel. And that's the whole rest of the year. That's what we get, right? And we get the encounter of Jesus with his disciples and his disciples later with the powers that be. So one Sunday is all we get. We're theologians. That's it. So I always try to make the most of it. Until I began to realize I was dead wrong. That what comes first is not doctrine. What comes first is not teaching. What comes first is not philosophy or theology or any of the grand things that we use, grand language we use in the church and in other experiences as well. What comes first is experience. First we experience. Then, after we experience, we have this sense of what just happened. What just occurred? What happened inside me? What happened inside somebody I know and love? What's going on? Something powerful has taken place, and I'm not quite sure what it is. We experience God before we know God. That's an extraordinary statement. Let me say it again because it seems counterintuitive. We experience God before we know God. The experience comes first. The doctrine comes second. So once we get into the doctrine of the Trinity, we have to admit this. It's hard. It's so hard to understand. I mean, I've been doing this all my life. And I think I know a little something. And then I come across and I always loved the Trinity. And so now I don't know what it means anymore. I'm not sure. I used to be so sure. I went to all these great schools and I read all these great books. And in fact, it's not in the books. Oh, it is to some degree, but that's not where the experience is. The experience is in an encounter. It's in the encounter that we have with Jesus Christ. It's the experience we have when we encounter one another in honesty and truth and hopefulness and love. That is the experience that we get when we encounter God through Jesus Christ. And then, after that, say, what do I make of that? And then you spend your time, you maybe drop everything and leave your family and go off to seminary. Don't do that. Or if you do, don't say that I had anything to do with it. The experience comes first, the doctrine comes second, and that means we start to study. We ask ourselves questions. What does that mean? What does it mean to say that God is a Trinity? Well, it's hard. When I was teaching college, I loved it when every now and then a student, you could just see a kind of a Pentecostal experience in a secular university. You could just see, bing, the light would go on above the head. And the student would wow. And so many times, and the last one I heard was, oh, this is so hard. And I was just rejoicing inside because this student got it. That some things are just hard. They're difficult. And so we never start with the hard, the difficult. We never start with a theology. We never start with all the grand multitude of ideas. Instead, we start with that experience of Jesus Christ. Words defeat us. Experience enlivens us. Now, what do we say? What do we mean when we say God is a Trinity? Three in one and one in three. Oh, I know what one is. I know what three is. And I don't know what... Is this as four? I've never heard the Trinity called four, because the Trinity is what? The Trinity is three. God is three in one and one in three. Now, this doctrine is the dividing line between the Christians, the Christian church, and the Christian people, the Christian movement, and all other forms of religion. Not that anybody is superior to anybody else, but this is what makes us distinctive. What is the most singular aspect of our faith is the doctrine experience of the Trinity. Trinity, without the Trinity, Christianity would lose its distinctiveness. Now, if you've had conversations with your Jewish or Muslim friends or Hindu friends, they may right away jump on you and say, you believe in three gods, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We don't believe in three gods. If they're a Jew or a Muslim, they'll say, we believe in one God and one God only. And you Christians are sort of muddying the waters here by saying that there are three gods. And we come back and say, no, there are not three gods. We do not believe that there are three gods, not Christians. Christians believe that there is one God and only one God. The same God as the Muslims and the Jews. Let me just set aside for a minute and let you to emphasize that. I got a call this week from the mosque. They are praying for my family because they know what's going on. They are praying for a Christian. They are praying for a leader in a Christian church. That's really an extraordinary thing, and we have to give God thanks for that. Back to our trouble at hand. Without the Trinity, Christianity makes no sense. It loses its distinctiveness, and frankly, there's not much in Christianity that is unique. Most of what we have in Christianity is borrowed or taken from Jews, and perhaps later taken from Muslims, but primarily it is the three persons have to do with the presence of God in three different ways. It's the experience of God as Trinity that makes Christian faith separate and distinct from the faith of our Muslim brothers and our Jewish brothers and sisters. We know each one of these persons differently. I encounter God the Father differently than I encounter God the Son, differently than I encounter God the Holy Spirit. And I can see in your faces, you're puzzled, what on earth is he talking about? Each person of the Trinity speaks to us in a unique and different way. Each person. So God, the creator and sustainer of all of life, who we use ancient language when we talk about this. We use ancient language like Father. We say, God the Father, God the creator and sustainer, is the one who creates all of this beauty out here. If we can keep it without destroying it, it is to be our gift from God to us. God the Father, the creator. We experience God as Jesus. And once again, we use the ancient language. We use Jesus as the Son of God, the one who overcomes all barriers, the one who rejects all forms of exclusion, the one who leads us solely to Jesus Christ and solely to God. We experience God as Spirit, the Spirit of the one living God. This Spirit gathers us into a relationship of holiness and love. The one who seeks us, finds us, and calls us into the loving community. That is the Holy Spirit. Let me read that again. The Holy Spirit is the one who seeks us, finds us, and calls us into the loving community. That is in God, the Holy Spirit, we are never alone. God, the Holy Spirit, is always with us. But more than that, God, the Holy Spirit, is the most radical part of the experience and doctrine of the Trinity. God the Son, or another way of putting it, God the human being, because Jesus Christ is the Son, in ancient language, the Son of God, always calls us to himself. God the Son, God the Father, God the Jesus Christ. All that we are is always a part of God. We are in God as God is in us. We are never alone. Our sorrows, our suffering, our fears, and our hopes are in God always. As Jesus is in us and we are in Jesus, we are therefore in God. Our experience is always God's experience. Our experience is always God's experience. We actually change and affect God. For 1,000 years or so, the theologians of the church taught that God was unchangeable, that God was always what God was at the beginning of creation and what God is to the end of time. It's bad theology, because it's when we say that God doesn't change, we're saying that God can't be affected by what we go through. If I'm with somebody who is crying, and I say to myself, well, I have compassion, but I walk past the person, what is that compassion worth? Nothing. If God was not affected by our experiences, if God was not affected by our sufferings, if God was not in our life in such a way so that what we experience, God experiences, we cannot call ourselves Christian. To be Christian means to recognize that God is with us, that Jesus Christ comes to bring the presence of God with us, and that the Holy Spirit gathers us in together and makes us one in the Holy Spirit. So we have these three: God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are all one. Amen.